Just before I begin that song that Pastor Ken sang, there is a few people here. You came to service. You really didn't feel like coming this morning, but you came, and you've suffered a loss, a crushing loss somewhere, and it's like hope has just been sucked out of you, just like, and the enemy has you at a place where he comes into your mind, and he prevents the Word of God, he prevents the Holy Spirit. He prevents anything to come in to encourage you and strengthen you. God wants you to have great hope today. He wants you to understand that he's here in the midst of all that you're going through, in the middle of it all. He's here. You came this morning. God wants to do something special in your life. And he wants to open your ears to hear. But you've suffered a loss. You've suffered a crushing loss. And it's been devastating to you. And you're working your way through it. But I want to give you an opportunity just to acknowledge that you're going to put your hope and your trust in the Lord. I want you to give you that opportunity to say, Lord, that's me. I need a touch from you today. I need you to reinterpret what has happened in my life. I need for you to assist me, Lord, in this moment, this time. Now, if that's you, the only way you can really do this is to draw near to God. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar, though we're going to come to the altar at the end of the service. But if you're here and you'll be honest with the Lord and you say, it's really been crushing, but I'm going to trust in you, Lord. I want to put my hope in you today. I want you to open my ears. I want you to open my heart. I'm just going to ask you just to stand, and I'm going to read and pray a scripture over you. You just stand at this point. Yeah, just stand right where you are. Just stand. Let the Holy Spirit minister. Open your heart. Open your ears. Lord, we want to thank you that we are your children, that you still speak to us, you care for us, you love us. And in the midst of all the circumstances that we face in life, we know that you never leave us and that you're with us. But today I pray that your Holy Spirit would begin to flow and minister, because we give praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. So today we thank you, Lord, for opening our hearts and our ears and speaking to us and bringing us through with victory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's amazing what God does when we react and we place it in his hands. And that's really what it's all about. I want to talk about hope, because I really believe the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is a message of hope, isn't it? His coming is one of the greatest messages of hope that we have. Today and every single day, you and I are preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. That's what we're doing. Our life is a visual expression of the love of God and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is coming. And that's what our life every day expresses. If you were here for some of our services when we had Rudy Swanepoel, he gave a prophetic word for us. And just to put it in a capsule, in 3 days meeting, his prophetic word basically said that God was going to thrust us into the harvest. That was the thrust of his prophetic message. It was longer than that. But the idea was God was going to take us and thrust us into the harvest. And it was going to be a violent push. I mean, you know, sometimes it takes a violent push to move us. That's what he said it was going to be. To get us to change our position, to get us to change even our daily routines, to become more lined up with what the Spirit would want in our life, there's going to become that push. And it's difficult for us to change the way we do things. It's difficult for all of us. And perhaps that's one of the reasons why we need to be pushed, to be thrust. Remember that it took persecution to thrust the church to go out of Jerusalem. It took the Holy Spirit to flow to get the people to go to the Gentiles, to get the Jews to reach out beyond their ethnicity. It took a thrust. So making changes is especially difficult. But when you lose hope, it becomes even harder. If you lose hope, it's hard to change. That's why hope is such a vital part of it. And when I look in the world today, it seems like a lot of people have lost hope in everything. It seems to be going that way. And the reason why I think they lose hope is because they do not have a living hope. We have a living hope. His name is Jesus Christ. But sometimes even among Christians, we find believers circling the wagons waiting for their rapture to take place. We circle up and we say, this is it. We're just waiting for the rapture to take place. And sometimes we see sin, we see corruption being so rampant that we lose hope in any redemption that may come. We're just waiting for the rapture to take place so that we can make it. And we evaluate our spiritual capabilities and we look at them and we say, oh, we're not doing such a good deal. We're not doing such a thing like this. And so we conclude that nothing really great is going to happen until Jesus comes back. How many of you know Jesus wants us to prepare the way for his coming? Sometimes we want to retreat and we find our faith diminished to the size of our family or our own spiritual needs. We don't reach outward. It's all inward. And the world does seem a bit hopeless right now. My hope today is that you will be renewed, strengthened, and blessed because as a Christian, these are the days in which we need to make a switch. If there's a switch we can turn on, we need to make a switch. We need to go into a war mode. We need to make a switch from passivity into an active work to a belief that God's going to use us mightily in these last days. Because we have a living hope. We have to begin to exercise the spiritual strength that God has given to each and every one of us. Our vision, our mission is to prepare the way for his coming. And he's coming soon. But don't you know the enemy is going to be resistant? Don't you know he's going to do everything he can? He's called the dragon. So he's going to drag on any attempt of our spiritual advancement. Drag on. That's what he's going to do. He'll try to wear out the saints. He'll do whatever he can so that we lose hope. He'll do it through marriage conflicts. There's nothing worse than marriage conflicts, especially in a church, because in a church, your marriage is like our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so marriages fall apart. People look right away at us. He'll use everything he can. Unresolved divisions within a church. He'll do anything to wear us out. He'll battle health issues, anything to misdirect our energies in what God would have us to be doing. That's the reason why the book of Revelation continually speaks about perseverance. Constantly talking about those people who overcome, those people that persevere and they overcome. It's repeated over and over and over again in the book of Revelation. See, it's one thing to have a vision. It's another thing to consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let that endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. There's a big difference between the two. There may be times in our life when we feel overcome, overpowered, but we must never, ever lose hope in the Ancient of Days who's coming soon. Never lose hope. In Zechariah chapter 9, this is a young prophet. The young prophet sees the people of God struggling. They're having a difficult time. And he has a vision of the coming of the Messiah. He has a vision of the coming of the kingdom of God. And he sees the Messiah's coming. He sees his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He sees his vision of his messianic kingdom. He sees its beginning and he gives glimpses of its fulfillment. And in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse number 11, he says, "As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit." So here's a blood covenant with you. He says, there's a blood covenant I'm making with you. This is an all-inclusive covenant. Includes those in the Old Testament that had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in the Messiah coming. And it includes those who have faith in the New Testament. It includes everyone who has placed their hope and their trust in the plan that God has to redeem the world. And then he goes on in Zechariah 9:12. He says, return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. Now, this particular scripture is really exciting to me. I get very excited about this because, firstly, it declares that we are all prisoners of hope. We're prisoners of hope. To me, this means I am never in a situation where I don't have hope. I'm never found in a place where I don't have a living hope. Never. Because I'm a prisoner of hope. Hope is something that everyone needs. All of us. Whether it's when we face a financial challenge or a ruin, when we experience medical uncertainties, when an emotional or a spiritual collapse comes knocking on our door, we all need the strength that is derived from hope. Now, the world's idea of hope is certainly different than the biblical concept of hope. The world says, I hope it doesn't rain today. I've got a picnic planned. That's where the world, it takes the form of a wish. That's what the world has when it comes to hope. The biblical concept of hope is more joyful. It anticipates something good is going to happen. It's joyful. It's expecting that something good is going to happen. And hope takes place before the good happens. You have hope before it happens. In the middle of the circumstances all around you, people and everything is pointing to a defeat, pointing to ruin, but because of your hope, you are pointing to something else. You are pointing to a victory because of the living hope that you have within you. You know that you have a God that can bring home the bacon. You know that's the kind of God that you serve. He can bring a breakthrough when you need it. You see, you have a fortress and a living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the answer even comes, you're giving praise to God. You're glorifying Him. You're praising Him even before the answer comes, because in His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A hope that is alive. Hallelujah. Zechariah paints a picture of a fortress, and he says, return to your fortress. What is your fortress? I'll tell you what your fortress, what I see is a fortress. A fortress is a solid place. It is an army. It is a place where a group of people knitted together by the blood of Jesus with a covenant upon them, and they strengthen one another. This is a fortress. This house of God becomes your fortress. This place is unlike any other that you could ever go to. It's the safest place there is. That's one of the reasons why Satan wants to keep us from gathering together, especially in the end of days. This is why he attacks the church. Because this place is a fortress. It's a fortress that fights for truth. Notice what it says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 1. He who willingly separates and estranges himself from God and man seeks his own desire and pretext to break out against all wise and sound judgment. You see, it's talking about somebody who becomes a counsel unto himself. He separates himself. The enemy is always trying to separate the flock. The enemy always comes in and tries to go it on your own. You can do it on your own. And I'm sure that's a part of pride, that I know best. But Proverbs 9 tells us to return to the fortress because we are prisoners of hope. Why should we return? Because the fortress is a place of safety, and it's a place that breakthroughs happen in your life. In this house, breakthroughs take place because the Word of God penetrates us and comes in and delivers us and heals us and ministers to our lives. This is a fortress. In Zechariah 9:12, return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. Every Sunday, you can find it when you come into this house, that there's testimonies that support that this is a place of safety, a place of a fortress. Two Sundays ago, after a service, there was a breakthrough that came in a lady's life. She was healed in the middle of the service. She wanted to run up while I was preaching because I wasn't even finished preaching, but something I said while I was preaching touched her, and she was healed in the midst of the sermon. In the midst of the sermon. It's God's Word. He promises, He sends His Word and heals them. She came to me after the service. She said, Pastor, there's everything I could do not to run up on the stage and come up and wanted to testify how God miraculously healed me. It happens more and more quickly, I think, as we get closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I mentioned one time before. Every Sunday, we have somebody finding Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Every Sunday, we find people coming up and talking about how God touched them and healed them. Why? Because this is a fortress. This place is unlike any other place. Because you know that at any moment, God could speak a word into your heart, and boom, healing will come. Because why? When two or three are gathered, He's in our midst. He has planned it this way. He's purposed it this way. Faith rises when you're in the house of the Lord. Because you always feel better when you leave the house than before you came in. You always feel better. Because faith begins to rise in our hearts, and you begin to realize there's nothing in my life that God doesn't have an answer for. God has an answer for everything. People around you may not be sure about it, but you know who your God is. 1 Peter 1:8 says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Do you love Him? Amen. Even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him, and you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Hallelujah. Peter goes on in verse number 21 in chapter 1. Through Him you believe in God who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, and your faith and hope are in God. We cannot become lazy, though, in our hope. Because if you do, you'll be targeted by the enemy. He looks for hopelessness. Satan doesn't deal in hope. He inspires fear. And when we give in to fear, it causes us to lose sight of the abilities that God has given to us. God has given to us in this community of believers the power of the Spirit, the power of the Word of God, and the power of fellowship with one another and with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God says, return to your fortress because you're a prisoner of hope. You're not a prisoner of fear, but you become a prisoner of hope. When we face difficulties, when we face challenges, that's when we need to remember what God has done for us in the past. We need to remember our history. Fear doesn't want you to remember what God has done for you. It will do anything to tell you that it is never going to happen to you. But it's our history with God. It's our gathering together like this, being in the place where the presence of the Lord is, sensing His anointing upon our lives, hearing what He says to us. The history that we have throughout all of our lives, all of these things come together, and all of a sudden we remember what God has done for us. And if He's done those things, then no challenge in front of us is impossible with the God we serve. Nothing is impossible. We're praying for breakthroughs, all of us, in many areas of our lives. But we don't see oftentimes what God is doing in our midst, what is happening here when we come to church. It becomes normal for us. We don't see the mighty work in the hand that the Lord of hosts is raising up an army of worshipers. He's raising up an army of worshipers. Those of you that are coming on Wednesday night, God is doing something miraculous in our midst. And Wednesday night, the worship is growing and it's becoming more and more. And God is doing something in our midst. He's developing this worshipful spirit, because you and I know there are some things we learn in worship that you'll never learn anyplace else. And worship is beginning to grow. And Bethany is in the process. 100-something years old, but we are still in a process, because God is preparing all of us so we can handle what is coming, what is going to take place, so that we're able to deal with this great harvest that's coming our way. God is working in us. Zechariah 9:11. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Now notice, we are set free from a waterless pit. That's what he's telling us here. And if you look in the scriptures, water is symbolic for the Holy Spirit. It talks about the rain coming down from heaven. It talks about rivers of gushing water coming up from the midst of us. It talks about water of life. It all represents the Holy Spirit. And it seems like when you go through the scriptures and you look like in Luke and it talks about demons, demons are always looking for a dry place. They're looking for a place where there's no Holy Spirit. They're looking for that kind of an atmosphere to dwell in. It seems like that's what they're looking for. And it's a little humorous to me that when Jesus cast this demons out of this legion, out of this man, and they went into the pigs went into the water. A little silly humor there, if you ask for me. All of them drowned in the water. But a waterless pit seems to mean a place where there's no Holy Spirit. That's why this place has to be a place that's filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. So he says here in Zechariah, he says, return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. When you suffer loss, the biblical concept of restoration is such that we should get really excited. I mean, you suffer loss for something. Sometimes people go into a pity party. Oh, me, oh, me, oh, me. I've suffered loss. But the biblical concept of loss is that God's going to restore to you twice as much as you lost. Ha, ha, ha. Twice as much as you lost. That gets me excited. Job lost everything. He got it back double, right? He got it back double. The first temple is destroyed. The second temple is twice as nice as the first temple. The biblical way of thinking doesn't cower to loss. Because when you suffer loss, all of a sudden you take a pause and you begin to think and you begin to understand and you begin full of hope, recognizing that our God is in the restoration business and he's going to restore twice. Twice. God has designed it for his people that if you suffer loss, that you are going to be restored with twice of what you lost. See, hope is something that will lift our spirits and allow us to believe what God has said about us in his word. Hope reinterprets the circumstances in your life. Hope is a position we take against all odds, no matter what anybody says, no matter what anything looks like. I have a living hope. I have a living hope. It's a place of comfort. When you find yourself in a difficult situation, you allow hope to rise in your heart. You allow the living hope, Christ himself, to reinterpret the situation you find yourself in. You can go 40 days without food. Never done it. Anybody here ever done it? Never done it. 40 days is a long time to go without food. I may have made it 6 days at one time. That's about it for me. Right now, because of my physical situation, my body, I can't do it anymore. But unless the Lord would give me a supernatural miracle, but you could go 40 days without eating. You can go 3 days without water. You can go 2 minutes without air. But you cannot exist without hope. You cannot exist without hope. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope. This morning, you're here. You have faith. You're a Christian. You're a believer. You're working on having love. God helps you every day in situations. He tests us. He tries us. He's trying to develop the same love that Christ had. Father, forgive them. He's trying to help us to understand how powerful love is as a testimony, that people will understand who we are because of this love that's in our life. So you're a person who has faith, and you're working on love. But you need a breakthrough. You're hoping for a breakthrough. That's what you're here. You're here today. You've got faith. You're working on love, but you're hoping that God will bring a breakthrough in your life. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to ask the worship team if they'll come, our musicians, Pastor Ken, and we're going to open these altars for several minutes, and we're going to allow you to come to this altar to bring a sacrifice, to bring a sacrifice where you declare, I am a prisoner of hope, Lord. I have a living hope. You live within me. I hope in your word, Lord. Those that hope in the Lord, the Bible says, shall renew their strength. And God wants to renew the strength in your spirit this morning. But you need a breakthrough. And you're coming and saying, Lord, I declare that you are my living hope, and I'm placing my heart and my trust in you. And I'm asking you, Lord, to let hope rise in my life. I declare, Lord, that I'm a prisoner of hope this morning. And I'm going to bring a sacrifice of prayer to this altar. I'm going to come. I'm going to call upon you. And I'm going to say, let my body, let it live in hope, understanding that you are my living hope. So as they pray, Pastor Kim, may you lead us in a chorus too. But I'd like those of you, you're looking for a breakthrough, and you're asking God to strengthen your hope, come, make a sacrifice of prayer at this altar. Everything begins at the altar. You come and you take a step towards God, and God strengthens you. You draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to you. So you're coming to this altar, spend some time and declaring that God is your living hope, and that I'm giving my body to you, Lord, as a living hope, and increase it within me. Jesus, I love you. Make as much room as you can at this altar, and you just take a moment.
Trust in
and all of you that are out there, would you reach a hand out towards these here and pray for them? They're here.
My soul from falling.
Lord, you see these that are here, kneeling, standing. Allow your hope to begin to flow through their life, Lord. Would you anoint them, Lord Jesus, today? They're here, consecrating their heart, dedicating their life once again, believing and trusting, Lord, that you're the living hope. They're looking to you, Lord, for a breakthrough moment, a breakthrough. Speak to them at this altar, Lord. They come and they sacrifice. They come and they leave with a heart filled with hope. We thank you, Lord Jesus.
I'll put my trust.
Sing with me, all of you. Sing with me. It's unto the Lord. Sing. Yes, Lord.
Trust in him who's able.
Thank you, Jesus.
To keep my soul from falling.
Lord, we just pray for these that are here. Let your anointing flow upon their lives, Lord. As they bow their hearts before you, Lord. They're here for you, Lord. Nobody else. They're here for you. God, they need a breakthrough in their life. So I pray that the Holy Spirit would break through in a moment. Speak a word to them, Lord. Anoint them, O Lord Jesus, in the precious name of Jesus. As they cry out to you, Lord. They cry out to you, Lord. Touch them and anoint them, Lord. They're here, Lord. Crying out. Minister, Lord, to them at this altar, Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is why you're here. You're here on a Sunday because the Lord has got you in this place and He has you at this altar now. Let the altar become a place of sacrifice. Let the altar become a place where the great joy fills your heart as the Lord speaks to you, Lord. A breakthrough, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have mercy on us, O Lord. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out all of our transgressions, wash away all of our iniquities, cleanse us, Lord, from all of our sins. We thank you, Lord, that you have birthed us into the kingdom. We praise your name, Lord. You have taught us, Lord, to come to the secret place of the Most High. You've called us to come to the fortress, Lord. So cleanse us with hyssop. Wash us whiter than snow. And let us hear with joy and gladness the words that come from heaven that speak. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Lord, hear the words from my lips.
Hope is built on
open my mouth, Lord, as I declare that you are, Jesus, Lord, my fortress, that you are, Lord, my living hope.
Trust the sweetest.
Thank you, Jesus.
But wholly lean
on Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Trust
thank you, Lord.
In Him who's able.
Thank you, Lord.
To keep my soul.
Stand up, guys. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Okay?
To keep me safe from
hallelujah. God is good, isn't He?
Hallelujah. I'll put my
praise
trust
the Lord. As soon as he's done with this course, I just want to ask you what you're putting your, what is your breakthrough, what you're looking for, what you're hoping for a breakthrough. Can I let you say that to the congregation, okay?
I will put
now, some of you that are here, you can stay at the altar if you'd like, but I'm going to talk here just a moment here to Howard and Jamie. Jamie and Howard, can you tell me what you're hoping for a breakthrough?
Especially for my health. I've been having a lot of health issues, but also for finances for the family as well.
They're believing God for a breakthrough for finances and also for Howard's health. Now, how many are here that are in that same position that this couple is? Finances and also health. If you're in either one of those, I'd like for you just to stand, acknowledging it to the Lord. You need a finances or you need a miracle in your body. Yeah, Lord, you see the needs in this body. You see the needs in Bethany Assembly. You see the needs. This is a fortress, Lord. And today we put our trust in you and we ask that your Holy Spirit would minister. Would you see, Lord, from heaven these needs and would you pour out your Spirit? Would you meet these financial and health needs within this congregation? We thank you for the great hope now that's rising in our hearts because you're a living hope and we are prisoners of that hope. We trust you, we put our faith in you, and we thank you, Lord Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I ask you guys what you're here, what breakthrough you need?
Just coverage for our family and direction, protection for our children. They all come to the Lord. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord.
Now, this is a big one, folks, because how many of you have children that aren't serving the Lord? I want you to stand with this couple. They're here, and God's going to raise the hope level in our life. He's going to raise it so we can believe greater things, that our children and our children's children are going to come to the Lord. So today, Lord, we stand with this couple believing, Lord, that your Holy Spirit has seen from heaven in a heart that reaches out towards our children. This is a couple that has children, and they're believing that they're going to serve the Lord. And you see everyone standing in this house that has children also. And we're standing believing, we're trusting, we're believing that you, Lord, are going to save them, Lord, that you're going to bring them to the kingdom. We're thanking you for this, Lord. Now allow the hope, the living hope, to rise in our hearts and our lives. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me ask this one woman here, standing here with this altar. Ma'am, what kind of breakthrough are you looking for today? What's the breakthrough that you need?
Discipline.
Say it again.
Discipline. I need freedom from alcohol and food.
She wants God back in her life, and she wants discipline with her spiritual life, discipline with her eating habits, discipline in their spiritual life. Now listen, be honest, folks. If you're in this place, I want God to give you hope that you're going to have victory in those two areas in your life. If you're in that position, if you're in that position, you reach out to God in hope. Father, we want to thank you that you want to strengthen us. You want to give us this discipline. You curb every appetite that doesn't line up with the will of God. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will help those that have a problem with abuse of alcohol and drugs, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would break through. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray for discipline. We pray for discipline for our lives. We pray that the Holy Spirit would minister and bring us into a life that would bring glory to the precious name of Jesus. We are prisoners of hope today, Lord. We have nowhere else to turn. We recognize that whatever situation we come in, whatever place we find ourselves, we are never, ever without the living hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.